Podcasting 2.0 for June 16, 2023, episode 137, Wonk Factor. Oh, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Yes, we are the only boardroom without a corporate identity or even an HR department, for that matter. You're ready to talk about all things namespace, all things podcastindex.org, and of course everything we're discussing at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country, and in Alabama, you'll never find him at a furry convention. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
That is true. That is one thing that I will wholeheartedly agree with. You will never find me at a furry convention.
I mean, Star Trek convention, yeah, but not a furry convention, no.
By the way, pig butchering, that is a real thing, and it is widespread. It's out of control.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear that two shows ago on No Agenda, we started texting back?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, call me quick. And then they called and they would hang up. I was ready. I had a patch to the board and everything. I was super excited.
Yeah. There's so many people at the office are just getting these things randomly. I had to send an email out like, okay, this is a thing.
Oh, really? You had to send
it? Yeah. Like,
hello, you horny dogs. Let me tell you what's going on. Do not reply. What was her name? Does everyone get the same name now or get different names?
What was the one from yesterday? My coworker got one.
Oh, I literally just got one just now.
You did not?
Yeah,
for
I did.
Real? Right,
yeah.
We were talking?
Yep, right now, just came in. Laura, let's go golfing together sometime tomorrow.
It's always golf. Yeah. It's always golf. It's your golf instructor. Yeah. It's you want to go play golf, blah, blah. Yes.
Chloe. That's the one that a lot of people get, Chloe.
Oh, Chloe.
Yeah.
Chloe is a baiting name.
Yes. Jenny, Chloe, Laura.
Yeah. It's girl next door, librarian level, male baiting is what that is.
The hot librarian. Let me just take off my glasses and shake my hair down for a second.
Yeah, exactly.
So you really had to say, hello, someone sending from PodFans. No, Podcast Index. Okay.
PodFans?
No, I know. I thought it was. I guess if you don't send a logo, then you get the stock logo. Excuse me.
Oh.
I think. Oh, this came from the index. And Martin's. Oh, yeah. We're lit, by the way. We're streaming. We're lit. That means you can send us sats. We see PodFriends. We see PodVerse. We see Fountain. We see the index. Looking good, everybody. That's nice.
I'm double lit. I'm lit.
Oh, you're doing the streaming? You're doing your video again?
We're testing Alex's new fancy new, yeah, lit squared, exactly.
Fancy new what?
Fancy new low latency peer tube. So like this is only, so the video is supposed to be, we tested it the other night.
Yeah.
He enabled low latency on it, which reduces the size of the HLS like chunk buffer so that you have a you can get the next chunk out faster.
Uh-huh.
And so then it reduces the latency from like 30 to 45 seconds down to like 9 seconds.
No way.
Very fast.
That's fast. That's especially for video. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we tested it. And I was, I would like, do something on the video and then watch it. It was like consistently 9 seconds, which I consider that to be amazing to do with like a low power Linode VM.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive.
Is that what you're running the what are you running on the Linode VM?
No, this is through NATube. This is through NoAgenda
Tube. Oh, okay. I understand.
Yeah, it's his version.
Do I hear music? I hear music. I hear something.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's my... Wait, hang on a second.
See? This is, it always screws everything up.
That's my daughter playing the piano. Oh.
Hey, yeah, wait, stop that kid!
You gotta stop the show. I gotta tell her to knock it off.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. If she's playing, it's fine. As long as, if it's her, then at least I know what it is. I just keep hearing it like in the background. Like, what am I hearing? Oh, you actually ran to tell her to knock it off. I can't believe that. Daddy's doing a podcast. Oh, goodness. Well, I don't know what we're going to do while we're waiting for Dave to come back. This is kind of weird.
How did you hear that and I didn't? I think I was talking and I had my headphones out. I think I could hear myself so loud that I didn't even hear the piano.
You know, it's, I was doing the show with Tina the other night, and I'm hearing a buzz when she's talking. I'm hearing it, and she doesn't hear it. People who listen to the show can't hear it, but I hear it. What I need to learn is to not obsess over it. That's my problem now. I'm just obsessing. Ah,
you said I hear music, and then I paused for a second, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I hear it too. It was right next to me in the room next to me.
Now, did you beat her senseless, or what did you do?
No, I mean, it's not to beat her. Just one backhand was all it took. I mean, she quit pretty quick.
I heard about you guys in Alabama there. Yeah, I mean, here comes daddy's 13. Belt.
She's a small person.
Oh no, you don't want to hurt him. No. Wow. Sorry if that triggered anybody. Didn't mean to do that.
Yeah. Wow. You be careful.
All right, let's talk about triggering. Let's get it out of the way right away, right now. Everybody, hair on fire, run around. Value for value is going to die.
Apple.
Damus.
Damus. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Do you want to give me your immediate thoughts, or how do you want to structure this conversation?
Yeah, why don't we explain what happened first? Okay. There was a tweet. You know, when a tweet goes out, especially when it's a screenshot, then you know something's up. Everyone's going to get all spun up over it. Yeah. And this was the initial tweet from Damus. I think it's pronounced Damus.
Not as in Nostradamus.
Nostradamus. Yes. Yeah, there you go. Which is a app for the Nostr protocol, I guess I could say, because not really a network Nostr protocol. Most notably, the one that I think Jack Dorsey sponsors, if I'm correct.
Sponsors as in give him a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, give him money. Yeah, Bitcoin to do it. Yep. So I think it's one dev. And so first he got a note from, he got kicked back saying that he had violated 3.1.1 of the guidelines. And then it was, you know, without much other context. And then the follow-up was not a screenshot, but was his interpretation. And they said, well, the issue is with Zaps. And I can't have Zaps on individual posts. It can only be on profiles.
Right.
Now, what is interesting is this was immediately equated to, oh, well, value for value's in trouble. I mean, for Damus, you know, okay, so there's one app that may not be able to do Zaps or will have to be crippled. But the thing, first of all, this is Apple's guidelines. You know, this is not like an unknown entity. Anyone who has an app in the App Store, I presume you've seen it. I presume you know what it says. And I presume that Damus knows what they did. That it, interestingly, the way it was worded, I don't know if that was the official wording from Apple, was kind of pre-crime, which I thought was pretty cool, because they were saying
you possibly could sell digital content using this method. Yes.
And so the endless discussion of what is in-app currency, what is digital content. I don't know if you and I need to rehash that. I think what we need to remind everybody is a couple things. One, Apple is a shitcoin. Come on, you know it. You use Apple. You build your own jail around you. This is not like a surprise. This is not the first app that's had an issue. I mean, there's $100 million lawsuits with Epic Games, you know, Amazon, Kindle. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not like an unknown. And, you know, surprise, surprise. If it's not today, it'll be tomorrow or in 5 years or at some point, Apple will have a problem with Lightning apps. Or I'm sure it's coming. You know, I don't think any of us should be surprised. I appreciated what Albi did. Brought attention to every single one of our apps. So,
yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks, yeah, appreciate that.
appreciate that with the blog post. But it kind of, I really do appreciate it. Now they don't really have skin in the game because they don't have an app in the App Store. But a lot of apps connect to them and use them. And they made a very compelling case for value for value. Now this is not exactly how I view the Zaps. I don't equate those to value for value. First of all, because they're called a tip, or equated with a tip. Not it's a Zap, but it's a tip. And if you ask them, what's a Zap? It's a tip. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is not value for value. I think that when you have a slider that allows you to say you can only send me zaps and not likes, I think that's probably where the trouble came from. But you know, this is what troubled me is the headlines in our own community. You know, what people are running out. Oh, this is, oh, is this the end of value for value? Well, let's just review value for value for a second. Mm-hmm. Value for value is it's not going to go away because of an inconvenience. Having the streaming sats and a boost button and a boostagram functionality in an app it works well because it's convenience, but it's not a payment system. Value for value works in many ways. Time, talent, treasure. No agenda, although boosts do come in. For 16 years, we've had to tell people go to this website and then click on a button and then go to PayPal and then use that to send us value back. So it's not like value for value dies on the vine and then it doesn't work anymore. And also, I think Podverse, Podfriend, Fountain, they all have web versions. So I'm not too worried about this. You know, there's some thinking that, well, if you're not in the App Store, then you might as well just be dead. I don't believe that. If you are true value for value, not if you just think it's I'm just going to get people streaming automatically and I'll get a tip or two. You're probably not that interested in value for value anyway. If something happened where you couldn't use a 2.0 V for V app on Apple, I think, you know, the way it works is like, hey, could you please help us out? Could you either use the web version to boost us? Can you, you know, get a new phone, get out of Apple jail? People would still support us. It wouldn't go away overnight. In fact, it would probably even ignite people to support us more.
I would say that we have, that's one of, it's sort of baked into the mission of all of this is to find ways around all of this kinds of junk.
I've thought about this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bigger discussion, but I mean, I think we can find if Apple were to, you know, extend its arm over podcasting 2.0 apps and kill value for value out of the App Store apps, out of their platform, it would be annoying and it would be a setback, but I don't ultimately think I think we are smart enough to figure out ways around that to make it still function just fine.
Definitely. Well, first of all, there's if you just look at smartphones in general, there are more Android phones in the world than iPhones. There's this incessant, you know, of course the richest people in the world are the ones who have iPhones.
Yeah,
That's true. You are the 1% of the rich class in America.
Right.
A couple things about, and I really like that the Albie guys link to valueforvalue.info. That's a good site, so you can learn what the true philosophy is behind value for value. It's not tips. It's not little bits of money. Looking at you, James Cridlin. What's a boostergram? People send you little bits of money. No, it can be whatever the value is that someone assigns to it. The key that we have is the value block in the RSS feed. That's the key. So, you know, you can perhaps surface a QR code. I'm just saying, you know, let's say you can't do this in the app anymore. Use the split kit. How about this? Track usage and then hit a button to send an email to yourself or to Albie, who then see that email and automatically translate it into payments. I mean, there's so many ways around this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I've had 100 thoughts on how to do it as well. And when you focus on what is the problem that you're trying to solve, there's 100 ways around it. It doesn't have to be. To me, the button in the app is the most elegant, straightforward way to do it.
Yep.
But if that's taken away from us from some external thing that we can't control in one platform, it's just not the end of the world. I'm not worried about it.
Exactly. I mean, we've gotten people to use these apps. I mean, that was the big change right there.
Yeah.
Just to get people to switch to a different app is much harder than you know, oh, now you have an inconvenience. But again, to me, it's just like, do you not? I mean, these are guidelines. These are not laws. People are like, this is according to your own guidelines, it should be allowed. Blah, blah, blah. They can change that tomorrow if they wake up and want to. Let's not fool ourselves.
I want to say that because a lot of this stuff, there's a lot of things happening. Twitter and Reddit both increasing the cost of their API, which killed third-party apps. That's a big thing that's going on right now. You know, Reddit's going dark and all this kind of stuff.
Yes. And because people are lazy and don't want to do anything. Don't do something themselves and make it work for them.
We have to understand just as a culture, as a generation here, we have to understand that this, all of this stuff that we have been enjoying and our brains have been destroyed by for the last 15 to 20 years, this is all about to change. The entire landscape of big tech is radically changing as we speak.
Oh, I love it when you talk dirty like this. Tell us more.
When you actually have to make money, everything changes. And so Reddit, they don't have a choice.
Yep.
They have got to make money, and they are going, and they're going to do it. And you know what? It's going to be just fine. Because we saw this with Twitter. Twitter had 8,000 employees. Now they have 1,500. And you know what's changed? Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Except they're closer to making money than they ever were before. They're still not profitable, yep, but they're pretty darn close. And they're going to get themselves to be profitable come hell or high water. And things are going to change in the process. The same thing's happening at Reddit. It's going to happen all across the tech landscape. And the most important point here is Apple is just Reddit. Apple is Reddit. They charge us to use their API according to their terms of service.
Correct.
It just so happens to be on our own piece of hardware.
Right.
But we still don't control it. They do.
Oh, yeah.
That phone in your hand is just a small Reddit. That's all it is.
I mean, I think even if you look at the terms of service, you kind of don't own anything.
Yeah.
They can expire the certificates for the apps. They can do whatever they want. You bought an app? Yeah. Oh, not really. You don't really own that app. We can remove that from your... Remember when they removed... maybe it was Amazon.
1984. They removed it from the Kindle.
Which was the most ironic thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this, so people forget this.
It's even worse than Reddit. So Apple is, the iPhone is just Reddit, but it's actually even worse because it's ideological more than it is monetary. At least with Twitter and Reddit, the issue was purely being able to afford the cost of the API and make a profit.
Right.
With Apple, they've been the most profitable company in the universe for many, many, many years. It's not about profit with them.
Apple does need to keep up appearances. I mean, you know, they're expecting to sell 20% less iPhones in the U.S. They have to up their, you know, they have to keep their service money going. So it's not unimportant. Right. Let's put it that way.
It is 70% of the revenue off the App Store is from games, and almost 70% of that revenue is from in-app purchases. So you're only talking about a small portion of the pie there. So what we're talking about with value for value payments or DAMAS or any of these, that's a very small amount. A very small sliver of what they would make. With what Apple's saying, what Reddit is saying is, we got to pay for the API, so we're going to charge you money. What Apple's saying is, if you want to keep your app available on our platform, you must adhere to these guidelines.
You must obey.
You must obey. Yes, it's actually more closer to pure censorship than it is, and I mean stuff that has nothing to do with money. I mean, like if you have a social networking app, they dictate that you must have moderation, a moderator.
You have
to prove that you can do moderation.
Yeah.
You have to prove that you can do moderation. You have all of these things that are non-financially related that you must adhere to, or mm-hmm. they will kick you off the platform.
Yeah.
So it's actually worse than just a pure financial play. It's an ideological play. And like, you do not own that iPhone that's in your hand. You do not.
Hence a shitcoin. That's exactly what they are. They're just a shitcoin. Yeah. And that's okay. But I'm just surprised. Everyone against Apple. Oh yeah, Tim Cook, you know, he's seen the writing on the wall. No, man.
Yeah.
I left Apple iPhone with the 6 and went to Graphene OS. And now I'm barely even on that. Now I'm just back to my computer, which except for the studio computer, unfortunately, is everything's Linux. I guess
I'm technically on Android.
Technically, with a light phone, yeah. Technically, it's Android under the
even though it's way down under the covers. Yeah.
But that's obviously the open source code. I mean, anybody can use that. Anybody can create that.
But I will say this one thing that we know, we've seen these Apple versus indie developers disputes before. They've played out many times in public, and one thing that Apple has always been this way. They're very nervous about bad public relations. They don't like bad PR. They'd rather not deal with it, but they do want to save face. I think the ultimate resolution that happened with Damas was a combination of them wanting to not get embroiled in a PR problem combined with they do want to save face. I really think
they care about saving face? I don't know, man.
That's been proven time and time again. Like there was a thing with the developer of an app called Paul that had API that would give you, it was kind of like a Postman for the Mac. It would give you API access and it had a bunch of documentation baked into it. And they had a public spat with them and it was very clear in that they were trying not to make people angry. But then they also had to like stick to what they said. So they're trying to like shoot this gap where they're like, we didn't admit we were wrong, but we don't want this to actually keep going any further. And so they kind of like came to to an agreement or a settlement. I think that's what this is. I think they got overzealous a little bit with a reviewer. They dinged Damas. And then then Jack got involved and everybody started freaking out and they were like, oh, okay, well, we didn't really intend for this to happen.
Maybe.
So then they got on the call and they were like, okay, well, it's really about posts, not about profiles, which doesn't make any sense.
No.
So I think they just arbitrarily created a line that said, oh, it's just the posts just to save face.
I think that was the problem all along. Looking at the change log, the change was Zaps only, which means according to the letter of their made up rules, that a tip or donation has to be optional, and this kind of didn't make it optional. Someone could force you into doing this, and you know. It's not about Damas. They don't care. It's about the $100 million other lawsuits. That's what it's about. Because if they allow Damas to get away with it, then they have to go back to Epic Games and all that. You know, it's a shit show. Apple is a law firm, and they have some developers in there.
I love that description.
Yeah.
That was my favorite. Because me and you were going back and forth about that thing when it happened in Signal. You're like, Apple's a law firm. I was like, yeah, you're right.
I forgot about that. So, yeah, you know, I'm not too worried about it. Again, value for value, valueforvalue.info. It's a mindset. As we were talking with Martin from Podfriend on the show in the boardroom last week, he says, you know, value for value, that's in the community. You know, people just helping out, people doing stuff. That's, none of that stops. None of that goes away. Now, do I love automated value transfers? Yeah, of course. It's not going to stop. It'll just stop on one platform. It could stop on any platform unless I have no idea if a progressive web app, I'm sure Apple can also forbid that. They can do whatever they want. But I would say that most people should have that anyway. It just seems to me that's the way forward regardless.
Seen progressive web apps work on the iPhone and it's pretty clean experience. It's not I know there's limitations, but like my kids will send me like a TikTok video or something, and it pops up in a progressive web app.
Oh, really?
And it's pretty impressive what they can do. Here's my thing though. PWAs, Apple has already established that going outside of their payment system, if you're still on their platform,
is going to be a problem.
They will bill you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll figure out how much you're making. They'll estimate it and they will send you a bill.
Right.
Because you remember, so I think it was the Dutch thing where Apple said, where the Netherlands passed a law and said, you have to allow third party payments. You have to allow payments through a third party system, not in the app, in app purchase, for dating apps.
Mm. Okay.
And, that in response to that law, they said, okay, yeah, sure. That we will allow third party, so these apps, these dating apps in the Netherlands can now directly accept a credit card and not do in-app purchase.
That's only in the Netherlands or all of the EU?
My understanding is it's only in the Netherlands.
Huh.
But what Apple said, but they never said they weren't going to take their 30%. So what they do now is they just bill you and you still have to pay the 30%.
Really?
But you get to use your own credit card system, but you still have to pay Apple.
Let me see. To comply with an order from the Netherlands Authority for Consumers and Markets, yes, developers distributing dating apps on the Netherlands App Store can choose to do one of the following. One, continue using Apple's in-app purchase system. Two, use a third-party payment system within the app. Three, include an in-app link directing users to developer's website to complete the purchase. Or four, use a third-party payment system within the app and include a link. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
Nathan said it's not 30%, it's 27%.
Oh, okay. Okay, Nathan. Interesting. I didn't even know this. Well, I do know that the EU is, you know, they're threatening to make, to say Apple's just completely anti-competitive. You have to have a third app. You know what? None of it matters. It'll happen. You're going to get screwed no matter what. If it comes down to money, no one cares about you. And this was the thing you and I were going back and forth about. I don't, it's as friendly as some of the Apple people are. They don't care about us.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. I don't think they're giving us any benefits or any extra. Oh, we'll see that through our fingers. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But we're just a pure play. We are pure. We're not trying to sell digital assets.
No.
We're pure. And the name kind of value for value versus Zaps. I mean, come on. It's obvious.
No, or Zaps only, which Zaps is even worse.
Yeah.
That was a terrible decision.
Bad. Yeah. Mistake.
Yeah, I mean, just call it only pay me money or something like that. I mean,
that would have been better. Yeah. Hey, it's Friday. I'm feeling good. You want to play some music? I feel like playing some music.
Who was the selector of this music?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Tone Wrecker for giving us some. He's made us a little Friday kind of music bed jingle thing, which I want to get out of the way because it's really good. Listen to it. Yeah, baby, we're running with the scissors.
I like the I like the stab that he sent. Did you get the stab?
I got the. Oh yeah, I have to see now. This is why I played the jingle because I got the stab or the stinger or the whatever you want to call it. I got it set up to go into our song for today, so it'll sound just like a disc jockey on a radio station.
Oh man, you're a pro.
Yeah, well, I try. So Stephen B sent me a suggestion, which he sent through lnbeats.com, which I did like, but then as I was fooling around in lmbeats.com, I came across something else, which kind of just felt like, oh, this is what I really want to do for the Friday show. So instead of his selection, I'm going to play something else. Now, if you're listening to this as a podcast, recorded and distributed, if you're using, well, what is it? Who does it? Podfriend, CurioCast, or does anyone else do the value time splits yet?
We may find out today because I put that information into the thing that dumps out to show me the boosts to read. So,
good.
We may see a surprise participant.
Yes. Now, if you're listening live through, and I don't know if Martin has set up PodFriend to do this live yet. But for sure, CurioCaster. So let's just stick with that for now until we hear differently. You will actually see the album art change. The minute we play this song, the value block switches to the artist, to the musician. And that's where all of your streaming sats and your boostergrams will go. So consider doing that just to make this artist happy and get more artists involved and want to do this. This is, wow, this is an upbeat song. I figured a little bit of up tempo here. So let me do this like a pro here for a second. Yeah, oh yeah. Ready to rock, Dave? Here we go. This is the Underclass from Longion 2.0. I can't believe that you believe these fucking fake hurts. Time to stir it up and cook these very heads up. What goes around will come around, it's how believe me. This ain't a place to leave you dead and leave you well. They've got you tripping cause you're part of the underclass. They've got you tripping. Life, I know in time, I'm making it right. All these cracks are healing. Life, I know in time, I'm making it right. All these cracks are healing. You choose to lose, it's up to you to turn it round. Think you could win your boy or play the Samurai sound. Flesh is the perish, it's the burn, and now you're naked. Time you took to rewrite the book that day you waited. They've got you tripping cause you're part of the underclass. They've got you tripping. Underclass. Woohoo!
That was rad.
Told
that
you. I knew you'd like it. Yeah, those guys are good. That's exactly the kind of stuff I need on a Friday. Woo! So what?
Alex Gates says, I don't associate with someone who uses FaceTime as a verb.
Did he say that in the song? Did he say FaceTime?
No, I don't know. They're just some chat on non sequitur.
Those guys aren't even listening. They're doing something else altogether.
Nice. I've got three different chats going. I'm losing my mind here.
That's probably hosted at Wavelake, I think. By the way, the Sovereign Feeds, what Stephen B has done here is pretty badass. He now has basically a little playout system inside the app, so you can play the song straight from Sovereign Feeds. It'll synchronize everything and put it the value time split in the right place. He has you can add you can create a value block. So what we were talking about on the last show. I mean, he just right away just went ahead and did it. So you can, mm-hmm. Just create a block of, for someone else, whatever it is. It could be for a clip that doesn't even have an RSS feed or anything, just people who have some wallets. So you can create that block, put it in, switch that. You could make it anything. It's become a great toolkit. It's really very valuable.
I need to go check that. See, I don't have a reason to use Sovereign Feed, so I don't ever log into it because I don't host a show.
Right.
So I never see the dashboard experience of what this is. And I especially need to go and check out like the whole syncing live thing. I can't get in my head like what you're doing when you're doing this.
Well, I'm doing a lot of things that I don't want you to know about, but I can tell you.
I'm glad you're not live streaming.
That's no cameras for me, brother. You really need to check it out. I mean, my biggest fear is Stephen B. keels over one day. This thing's gone. That's honest to God. That's my biggest fear. I would love to have Sovereign Feed sovereignly hosted. Happy to. I mean, I think we already give them 10% of our value block, don't we? I think.
I hope so.
Yes, 10% for Sovereign Feeds. Okay. It's something I'd love to have on my Start 9, which, oh man, do I love that thing. I'm sorry to keep harping on it, but whew.
You're going to make me, if you keep talking like that, you're going to make me buy one of these things.
It's so solid. It's like it just works. It's just always there. It's not wonky. And I love Umbral. But it's got a wonk factor, particularly if it's got wonk factor.
Can that be the show title, please?
Wonk factor? I think so. I'm writing it down.
I'm going to have to buy one of these things. Yeah. Because I love the Umbral. But you just keep talking so highly of this thing. I feel like now I'm getting FOMO.
Yeah. Well, you can put it on your own hardware. And it's an OS. That's what I like about it. So if you just load this on your own hardware, it loads like an OS. I guess you could technically even run it in a VM.
I wonder what it's doing under the covers. I wonder if it's like Flatpak or some sort of like Nix OS type deal.
I don't know. I don't know.
I would love for somebody to tell me what that's doing. 'Cause you said it's not Docker.
No. They built an actual OS. You do have to package up your application. I'm not quite sure what that means, but we got Helipad on there. We have IPFS podcasting. That's on there, which I've also learned something about. Okay. So IPFS, it seems that now kind of the way to do things since the IPFS protocol, although supported in some browsers, and clearly no app said, "Oh, Adam, we love what you're doing. We're going to implement that." So they use now, they use different exit, what is it called? Gateways. And so it has a list of gateways and then it'll switch around so that, all the load doesn't go to one gateway. So it's HTTP out, even though it kind of lives in this IPFS space.
So that means like when you say gateway, you're talking about like where Cloudflare runs.
Well, like IPFS.io. Oh yeah, I guess doesn't Cloudflare also run an IPFS gateway?
Yeah,
I think they do.
I wasn't familiar with the term gateway, but I think
it's called gateway.
What that is? Yeah.
Yeah. So you can pull it out. You can pull anything out as long as you have the hash. You can pull it out of there on HTTP or HTTPS, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Now, of course. And I know that Cameron was talking to Stephen B. to implement this into Sovereign Feeds, where I would publish, and then it would ping IPFS, get the hash, ping it, bring it back in, add that into an alternate enclosure. What I would like it to be, of course, is just why not just straight up? I mean, I'd love to stress test it. I'd love to try just an IPFS link, but I have to create the actual feed with the enclosure first before I can get it out of IPFS podcasting as an IPFS file. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So does the IPFS podcast, are you running it on your Start 9 right now?
Yes, I am.
So does that app does it try to serve the feed and the enclosure over IPFS or just the enclosure?
Hold on. That's a good question. I think IPFS podcast, if I'm not mistaken, I think IPFSpodcasting.net creates an IPFSpodcasting.net feed, I believe. Okay. Let me see. Let me just... and then from that, which I don't think that part's hosted. We need to have Cameron on. I mean, I'm struggling here to explain this stuff. And I've just been running it, and I just see that people are using it. But I think ultimately you can subscribe to a... You can subscribe to an IPFS RSS feed. I think that's Cameron's vision there. And let me see. Yeah, IPFSpodcasting.net/RSS/podcasting2.0.xml. So it creates a new RSS feed, and in that RSS feed, it has... So maybe that's the way to do it. Mm. Just subscribe to it that way. And then, it'll work, I guess. I should try that.
it'll work, I guess.
Well, I can submit this feed to the index. It's just, it'll show up. I don't think it'll show up it won't say IPFS version. It'll probably just be a replica, be a dupe, which will kind of suck. Let me see.
Well, it's funny because I'm almost like a purist with this, where it's almost like I don't want to do IPFS at all unless you can do all IPFS all the way down to the bottom, like right. Feed, enclosure, all of it.
Yeah, what I understand...
Like if your feed's still coming from HTTP and your enclosures are from IPFS, I don't know, it seems like a cheat. I'm not saying it is, but it seems that way.
Well, they're both going to come over HTTP. The title of the feed remains the same. So it's just copied one for one. The only thing that changes is the enclosure URLs. And so there you get a hash. But it's not it's not an IPFS protocol. It's the HTTP protocol. And it has one of those revolving gateways.
Okay.
So, which is, which basically makes you rely on, rely on the rest of the world, I guess. So here it is. Wow. Okay. I'm sorry. Take that back. He must have done some upgrading. Check this out. So in this feed that is created from IPFSpodcasting.net, the enclosure has... an HTTPS IPFSpodcasting.net/IPFS. So that's a gateway. Then a hash for the MP3. And then has an alternate enclosure.
Oh.
Hello, with IPFS.
Where are you seeing this?
In my feed, in the Podcasting 2.0 feed.
Oh, really?
Hold on. I'm going to give this to you right now. Boom. I'm going to jack this into the chat room, too. There you go, chat room. Oh,
that's a file link. Yeah, that won't work. That's on your D drive, Adam.
Okay, can't everyone talk to my D drive for a minute?
Did everybody see the file? Just go to D:\.
You made me sound like a douche. All right, hold on a second.
Sorry.
That's all right. Well, at least I have a D drive, okay?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, there it is. Okay, here we go. All right, feed, IPFSpodcasting.net. How am I going to open this link?
It'll probably download.
Oh, wow, it's even got a style sheet with it. Man,
yeah, baby, yeah. Well, I'm telling you.
It's beautiful.
So, maybe we just throw that into the index as a secondary feed, except it would have to have a different title. But it updates on the fly. It updates whenever I update. I don't know. I might even be listening to Podping for all I know. Cameron's out there.
Let's see. I see it. Podcast value. It's got everything. Yeah, it's got everything in it. Let's see. That's the live. So it's got the, it's got the live item. Where's this? See, where's the alternate enclosure? Okay. Here's the enclosure. Alternate enclosure. Yeah. I see it. Wow. That's pretty rad.
So I look at his stats here. 74 IPFS nodes hosting 15,250 episodes from 331 feeds worldwide currently. There's something here, and the fact that it's using alternate enclosure, that's kind of badass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel bad because I just jettisoned my whole concept of IPFS when we had such a problem with delivering the database that way.
Yeah.
And had to kind of give up on it. But I don't know, maybe I was kind of tired of getting burned by it. So I was just like, screw it. You know, I'm not doing this anymore.
I hear you.
You know, but maybe it's time to go back and visit that and see how reliable it is.
I mean, the stuff works. I mean, you hit one of those enclosure links, it'll work. It's pretty quick. I haven't had any issues. I mean, I'd like to try it with no agenda. See what happens. You know,
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, cool. You're always going to have some nut jobs out there that are willing to try this stuff. And, you know.
I'm just saying that, you know, so when I think of, you know, combining sovereign feeds with IPFS podcasting, you know, I don't know, you know, it's just like, this feels like there's something there. Feels like, you know, for people who want to, who want to live free and independent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this dashboard that Stephen B is building is beautiful. I mean, this is a serious little tool here, which, as I said, if it goes away, my life is over. I mean, I lose a lot here.
Do we have key man insurance?
We better. It's key man insurance. I love key man insurance. Yeah. So.
Phase six is in the can officially.
Well, when was the voting?
It happened very quickly. You so fast you didn't even see it.
Okay. So we have in phase six in the can. And I saw someone post on podcastindex.social that, hey, we're all working on stuff that has nothing to do with phase six.
I saw that too. It's so, like, nothing's ever good enough for you people.
So what do we have for sure in phase six now?
You caught me off guard.
Let's see. I mean, I don't want to turn this into any, you know, hot namespace talk, but I figure we just get a...
You don't? Why would you not want to turn it into that?
Well...
I want to turn it into that.
Well, okay. If you want that, then no problem.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Hit the switch.
Mm-hmm. Dim the lights. Yeah.
Docs. Namespace. Let's see what we got here. We got a TXT record. A remote item, pod roll, update frequency, pod ping, and value time split.
Nice.
Those are the inductees into the phase six.
That's some big stuff. So, roll by them again. So it's pod roll.
No, TXT.
TXT.
Remote item.
Which is huge.
Yep. Pod roll.
Pod roll.
Which uses remote item.
Yep.
Update frequency.
Yeah, tell me about this one. What is, I've seen this come by and I'm like, my eyes glazed over. I'm like, I don't think I need this. What is update frequency?
You can use this though. So this is, I kind of like this tag. At first I was like, we've got pod ping that needs to be the future. Why do we need to start specifying update frequency? But then, the more you think about it, the more you can see the use case here. In the world of pod ping, you may not necessarily need to know when I think part of the problem is I'm thinking always and only sort of sometimes as an aggregator. I'm not thinking as a normal person, you know? And so like
newsflash.
Yeah. If nobody knows that already, but
yeah.
But if you step away from that for a second, you see the utility there, because what you can say is, you could signal that a podcast is about to come up, is about to release. So you can say, okay, this is a new podcast. Here's the trailer or a teaser episode, we're going to release on a cadence, and so you know in advance. Each time an episode is going to drop or something like that. Like you could see, this is a way to signal to the world when they can expect these episodes to come out.
Okay.
So even though the aggregator is going to know when they get a pod ping, pod pinging is not a descriptive thing. You know, it doesn't tell you when it's going to happen. It only tells you when it does happen.
Right. So, and I just got a link, which I've put in the show notes, the update-frequency.vercel.app.
rolls off the tongue.
From Nathan. Yes, it's very snappy, but it's in the show notes, and that allows you to create the update frequency tag, so you can have that and put it right into your feed. It's pretty cool. It shows you what it is.
Yeah. It's very compact. I like this tag.
I could see this.
And I see that Nathan uses the same marketing department we do, so he knows exactly how this works.
This is something that, actually, if anyone ever implemented the value block auto, this would be something that could be used kind of in tandem with that. So if, you know, I want to automatically send someone something when they drop an episode, or am I just making it more complicated for myself now?
No, I see. No,
that would be one way.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just never going to use this. iPod ping. Just listen for my ping pod.
Well, you're not going to use it because everybody knows when you do your thing. But at the same time, it could be done in a programmatic way. I mean, you could put this tag easily into your feed and you can say, here's the dates that we release episodes. And then apps could show it.
Oh, yeah. They could highlight it. They can do stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So like you could say, we release on Thursdays and Fridays, every Thursday and Friday for No Agenda. This show releases every Friday afternoon at 12:30.
It's more aggregator side, but yeah, I can see where that would be.
But see, that's the thing, is it's not aggregator side. That's what confused me too. See, you're thinking like an aggregator.
I'm sorry.
Stop it. You're thinking like an aggregator, like I was, and that's the confusing thing. Like, it's about telling...
Listeners.
Well, Nathan says it's about telling the listener. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at what a podcast app like Overcast does, where on the podcast description page, he puts in there this little blurb that says releases on Friday afternoons. And
right.
That is him programmatically running through his database and figuring that out on the fly so that he can then tell the listener when this show normally releases. And this is a way that you can just do it yourself as the podcaster and not have to rely on all these antics of database, you know, manipulation to figure it out.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So it's more me telling the apps to show something that could be translated to something for listeners.
Yeah. It's like you providing your own TV guide.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. To the listener. Yeah, you're letting them know.
Who proposed this? Who proposed this tag?
Nathan. Nathan Gathright. That's his baby.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right.
Yeah, and it uses a really compact frequency description language.
I can see that.
Nice.
Yes, yeah. I can see that. Okay, I approve this. That's fine.
Thanks. Is that a yes vote for me?
That's a yes vote. By the way, I have to thank, who put the isobot.dev page together? Who did this?
What is isobot.dev?
Oh my goodness. Go to isobot.dev.
Oh,
every single ISO that has been created in the chat room.
Oh God, no.
Yes, now it's archived.
It's got a wonk factor, particularly if
it's anything you want that we've said that someone ISO'd is now available on this isobot.dev. This is phenomenal.
I disapprove of this.
I think this is great. I think. What do you
this
mean?
This is
you
a horrible idea.
I think this is a great idea.
I do not want to be on the record in an easily searchable, indexable fashion for crap that I said on this show.
Well, then you do not want to go look at Bingit.io for sure. Have you seen that? Have you seen what we've done there?
I played with Bingit.io for the first time the other day. That is a phenomenal resource.
So this is Sir Denonymous. Apparently his company, I guess it's his own company, goes into businesses and says, okay, we'll take your millions of documents and data, whatever, and we'll put it into something you can actually find stuff. So, knowing that everything I produce comes from the Freedom Controller, which by default outputs XML, either an OPML or RSS, included in that every single, thank you, Dreb Scott, almost every single transcript from every single show. This, I think it's like 20 or 25 that have to either be done or redone. And I'm kind of waiting for transcribe.fm to come online with that. Because
right.
I just want to try it with that. I mean, I've found stuff that I know we talked about it. You know, it's like, I know I talked about this, 10 years ago. You type in a couple of terms, boom, there it is. Click on the link. I hear myself saying it.
Does this cover podcasting 2.0 shows as well? Because
is only No Agenda, but we can do the same because we have the exact same data for podcast. I think MoFax is going to be great when we do that one.
Oh yeah, that's a great one.
Uh-huh. And again, Dreb, I think, did every single show, turned it into a transcript. The transcripts are incredibly valuable. And then bingit.io, if anyone wants to see how this works, just because I'm not a genius, but because of the Freedom Controller creating everything in OPML and then making a backup copy of every single article we've ever used in the show notes. So, it just strips out everything. It's just a text copy. I'd say we have 90% probably, because there's a lot of stuff that you just can't strip out, just won't work, or it fails or whatever. Over time, probably total about 90. Also, all the clips, all the MP3s, and when I upload those, they're uploaded in a specific directory, so he kind of knows. He's put some fuzzy search logic in there for the Dvorak misspellings.
That's funny.
And it turns the podcast into something that a college level, graduate level could use to research things, to find where we were talking about it, then to, get the articles. It even, places the right artwork for that episode. I mean, it's phenomenal what the guy's done.
So is this open source, or is this him?
I don't know.
Because I wonder if it contains AI and data dust.
Oh, yeah, no, it's... I told him to put AI on the top. I told him to put that in there. So let me see. It says...
What about data dust? Does it have data dust?
I'll ask him to add that. It definitely should. It says No Agenda AI search. Okay. I'll ask him to add data dust.
Yeah, because that's what Podchaser added, some data dust to their thing. Have you seen their data dust, by the way, the similar tab?
Podchaser, I mean, so that's the new thing. That's Spotify's new business model. With podcasts is Podchaser. I think that's all they're doing now.
No, Podchaser is the thing that Acast bought. Podchaser's been around a long time.
Something different. What does Podchaser do? It's, whenever I honestly, whenever I hear Podchaser, it's going to sound weird. It sounds like a porn thing.
I can kind of see that.
We're the pod chasers. We go around town and we get pods and we chase the pods and then we make them strip on camera. Just weird. Okay, pod chaser. What does it do?
Yeah, just pod. So go to podchaser.com. This is AI. This is your AI and your data dust.
Did you actually say data dust? Please tell me that. Well, data dust.
The guy said that during the interview. He said they sprinkle some data dust.
Okay. Your daily source for podcast discovery. Oh, I need to discover a new podcast every day, I guess.
Yeah. So look, go search for this show. Search for podcasting 2.0.
Okay.
Podcasting 2.0. Click. So this is your AI. This is AI. State of the art with AI. Okay. Go to the similar tab over there on the right. They have determined.
Okay.
With AI that are similar to our show.
I have similar. Okay, similar. If you like podcasting 2.0, you might like these similar podcasts. Breaking Point with Stephanie Conway. The Connected Caroline Show. The Podcast Ambassador with Gary Leland.
The Bavarian Brown Bag. Yeah. What is that?
Wait, I don't have the Bavarian Brown Bag. They're just showing stuff random.
The Mentor Project.
That's bull.
It's your debt. But this is the most important, though. Go back to About.
About.
Go to About and look. Where did they get this picture of you?
Huh, that's interesting, because that has nothing to... That's not the picture that we use in our feed. And what's this picture of you? It's a cartoon. We have no face.
Well, that's what I really look like.
Oh, I'm sorry. The faceless Jones.
Yeah. I don't know where they got this picture from. It almost looks like it's from Podcast Movement.
Let me see this picture. I look goofy.
I don't remember you wearing that jacket.
That's very, very old. That's very old. I don't know, man.
Huh.
Oh, man.
Well, it's not coming from any feed that you have, I don't think.
Not that I recall.
You would not put that picture of yourself in anything.
No, that's very goofy looking.
It's not as goofy as mine, though.
How goofy can you be when you have no face? It's okay. You know, it's just like,
you haven't face, seen me post op.
Let me see. Post op. All right. Well, can't we find this in the image Googleator?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Hold on a second. Let me see.
Because this may be AI. They may have pulled this out of AI. Oh, that may not even be you.
Please. So insulting. Okay, let's see. I'm going to drag in my picture. Oops. Oh, I'm on my D drive again.
Teacher.
Here we go. Upload. Let me see. Visual matches. It's from the Dutch newspaper. Headline: Adam Curry married again. so now this could be from several different periods in my life. So I'm not quite sure what the date is. 2019.
It could be recent. Does Tina know?
May 20th, 2019. So they took it from. It's actually copyrighted material by the newspaper.
Oh Lord. That's your ChatGPT API.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Data dust
at work. All right. Well,
Alex said, stop touching your D drive during the show.
I'm sorry. Oh man. Okay. Okay. Well, great. I'm so happy that.
I just wanted to bring that up because that's the AI is the infatuation of podcasting now, and this is the quality product that you get with AI and machine AIML.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know where to start with all that. You know, it's just like, well, no, it's just no. It's, all of it's just, I mean, I played some clips from Noah Harari. You know who this guy is?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, he's the World Economic Forum guy that he's written several books that all the elites love about the future and we're all going to die.
Oh, is he the transhumanist guy?
Yeah. Yeah. In a way he is.
Okay.
And he was interviewed about AI, and maybe worth just playing these for a second. They're not really long. It's like a minute each. So he's talking to this host about AI and, you know, and how it's going to eat the world is basically the idea. But listen to this.
AI is now at the stage like of, I don't know, amoebas. It's like 4 billion years ago, and the first living organisms are crawling out of the organic soup. And so ChatGPT and all these wonders, they are the amoebas of the AI world. What would T-Rex look like? And how long would it take for the AI amoebas to evolve into the T-Rexes?
Wait, stop. And stop. This is the guy. This is like the Skip Logic COBOL guy. This is the same type of crap. Like one of those guys that just gets paid to talk about stuff that he barely understands.
Well, yeah, in a way.
Futurist. He's a futurist. Futurist. Yeah.
Well, Noah Harari, he wrote a couple of famous books. But the one that was his bestseller that got him into the elite circles, let me see, I think it's Sapiens is what it's called, A Brief History of Humankind.
Okay.
Very, very famous book. I think Sam Sethi, for some reason, Sam Sethi, I think, might have had posted this. This is a great book.
He's like a Malcolm Gladwell kind of guy.
Only bald and scary.
Ooh,
okay. Yeah. So his other ones were Homo Deus, I guess, A Brief History of Tomorrow, 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. His writings examine free will, consciousness, intelligence. So he's the guy that's out there saying, we've got to get universal basic income because AI is going to eat everyone's job. That's basically one of his pitches.
Bleh.
So, you know, now he's telling us that ChatGPT is AI amoeba, what will the T-Rex look like?
To evolve into the T-Rexes. And it won't take billions of years. Maybe it takes just a few decades or a few years. Because the evolution of AI is at a completely different time scale than the evolution of organic beings. Because AI itself works on a different time scale. AI is always on. one of the, and the computers in general are always on. Humans and other organisms, they live, they exist, they develop by cycles. We need to rest sometime.
Mm-hmm.
AI never needs to rest.
Who's that guy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, this guy.
Yeah, you're making a lot of sense.
Well, this guy, so after this, I actually have a 20-second clip of that guy. So it's the interviewer, and after this, Harari does his whole spiel here about, you know, AI, it'll think for itself, you know, we're all going to die, it's going to write its own Bible, it'll have its own religion, we don't need anything else. Then the host says this.
You know, when I was preparing this interview, I wrote down questions that I would like to ask you, and then asked ChatGPT to create 10 questions that it would like to ask you. And I've been doing this for a long time, okay? 25 years I've been doing this, and its questions were better than mine. I'm going to be honest with you.
This is bullcrap. This is bullcrap.
Oh, this guy, this probably would have never heard of this guy in his 25-year career, because maybe your questions aren't that good.
Yeah, maybe it's not that ChatGPT is great. Maybe it's just you're really bad at your job.
Oh, man. I mean,
this is such bullcrap. So we're, what I love is we're going to, so, you know, James on the latest pod, I almost called it Podland, on the latest Pod News Weekly Review, on the latest one of those, he said that he now takes press releases and dumps them into Google Bard and asks it tell me what this is saying. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to have marketing people. They're going to put in two sentences and say, please turn this into a press release, send it out. Then the press people, then the journalists are going to get it and say, please turn this back into something I can understand. And so it's basically like the press release in its entirety is just going to be like one of those tubes at the bank when you deposit and you put it, you're in the car and it just
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, just, okay, all right. I'll wait for it to turn to T-Rex and kill everybody and do everybody's job. And, you know, it's like, no, I just don't see it. I mean, I'm looking at Otter now, otter.ai, which I'd love to not use. I'd love to pay in sats to transcribe.fm. I'd like to take that money, give it to him. You know, now it's doing summaries. Oh, these are great for your chapters. I mean, first of all, it's a million chapters. I'd much rather give Dreb Scott 5% of the split, you know, and so he can come up with stolen base, how news works in the United States. Chip Gibbons, policy director. Are there two sides of the deep state? It's not an answer. I mean,
chapter GPT.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, okay.
Did you, I've got some clips. I brought some clips.
Oh, we love your clips, Dave. What you got?
So this, I was listening to this dude. This is on a podcast called Monero Talk.
I wonder what that show is about.
It's really hard to figure out what it's about.
But about Monero?
Let me explain. Yes, I know it's confusing, but let me explain.
Okay.
So Monero Talk is actually a pretty interesting podcast. They have horrible audio. People should boost this show just for the amount of work I put into cleaning up these clips to make them listenable. But if you can get past the terrible audio, they actually have some really good interviews sometimes, and they're not, although they're Monero people, and so they don't, you know, they're not crazy about Bitcoin. They have Bitcoin people on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times their coverage of things is pretty fair. I think they try to be fair. And so they had this guy on who's part of the Monero core team. And I don't exactly know what that is. I don't know if he's a developer or whatever, but he clearly knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the math. He knows the cryptography, at a level which, you know, is functional. So he's talking about, and this, I was listening to this yesterday, and it really, this thing just blew my mind. I was just kind of like, I just kept on re-listening to it over and over. This guy's name is Francisco Cabanas.
Okay.
He is an expert witness in the Bitcoin Fog case. Do you know the Bitcoin Fog case?
Fog?
Fog, yes.
F-O-G or F-U-G?
F-O-G, Bitcoin Fog.
I do not. F-O-G. No, I do not know. What is this?
So this is a court case.
Interesting.
And let me summarize it as best I can. So Bitcoin Fog was an open source mixer, Bitcoin mixer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it would mix up HTLCs and poop out a new one. And so you have, one Bitcoin created from multiple Bitcoins. So it's not traceable.
Yeah. You said HTLCs, but it's really, I think you meant UTXOs.
UTXOs. Yes. Yes. Thank you. That's right. What I meant. Yes.
Right. Yeah. It's a coin join is what it is. And so it's a mixer and it would, the Bitcoin, so this Bitcoin Fog thing, they allege that lots of illicit funds, I don't know if it's terrorism or drugs or something, like a lot of stuff went through this Bitcoin Fog. And so therefore the guy who owns who ran Bitcoin Fog is a criminal and they're going to bring him up on charges.
Really? Huh?
And the way that they've identified the individual that they say ran Bitcoin Fog is that they say that they used blockchain analysis to pinpoint where he purchased the Bitcoin Fog domain back in a specific Bitcoin output. So they supposedly tied this UTXO to him, and then they saw where the funds from that UTXO were spent. To purchase the domain for Bitcoin Fog.
So that means he didn't use his own system to protect his purchase of the domain name?
Perhaps. So I don't know those details. Uh-huh. Now I'm wondering now, maybe somebody can look it up. Bitcoin Fog may have been an exchange, not a mixer. I think I'm getting confused with Tornado Cash. Anyway, but the heart of the case is that they are using blockchain analysis.
Right. To find out where he was and who he is.
To identify this person. So this fella, Francisco Cabanas from the Monero core team, he, says basically this blockchain analysis stuff does not work.
Huh.
It's snake oil. He goes over some of the math and the cryptography behind it. And says this is snake oil that's been sold to governments, but it does not work even in Bitcoin. So that's the thing is like, one of these privacy coins like Monero, they are more private than Bitcoin. But he says even that being given, you still can't look at Bitcoin's blockchain and determine for sure who spent what. Which is actually different than what the Bitcoin people themselves say.
Yeah, they're very proud. Yeah, it's open. You can track everything. It's right there. Yeah. Interesting.
Turns out that's not actually the case.
Okay.
And so clip one, he kind of goes over that.
The absence of privacy does not mean you have good surveillance. You can look.
Hold on a second. Do you mind if I just run this through my AI for a second?
Please do.
The absence of privacy does not mean you have good surveillance. You can look at it that way. You could create the whole idea in the design of Bitcoin privacy, and there is an entire section on privacy in the Bitcoin block white paper, is you have anonymous output, and you break the linkage between the output and a person of persons. And so, therefore, you're frustrated enough that it's impractical, this is the theory, to actually surveil it. Someone comes along, cooks up an algorithm, keeps it proprietary, throws in a bunch of heuristics and stuff in the system and guesses. Some of them are completely wild. Some of them are totally invalid. And then turns around and says, we can detect criminal activity. And we're going to sell this to governments and we're going to charge them a big fee to access our proprietary software. They do a good enough sales job. They convince enough regulators and enough law enforcement officials, etc., that they got this too good to be true tool for law enforcement. They fall for it, they pay them a lot of money, and they start accusing people. And all of a sudden, the whole thing gets dumped in front of the court.
Well, that's interesting. I always thought it was completely possible, unless you went through, as you said, one of these mixers. But even without that, blockchain analysis apparently is just not true.
Yeah, and he makes a very convincing case in this in his discussion there. And at one point the host says, "Well, you know, you're saying that this is all a fiction. Like, this can't be done. And is there any, who can I have on the show? Give me somebody who disagrees with you that I can have on the show,
right,
that we can have a counterpoint to." And he says, "Well, there were some, but I've since convinced them all that I'm right."
Wow.
Basically, he's like, there's nobody left that disagrees with this guy. So anyway, the point, so that's the foundation of what he's saying. But then he goes one step further, and this is the part that kind of blew my mind, is he says, if you think about it, not being able to see the privacy that we have within the blockchains, whether it's a privacy coin or Bitcoin, the obscurity and the inability to find out who spent what for what is actually, in the context of blockchain analysis being part of regulations, it's actually worse than if you couldn't tell at all. Because now you can be blamed for stuff and you can be accused of things and you can't prove that you didn't do it.
All right, clip two.
And what this is about the EU.
What they're trying to do in the European Union is they're trying to bake blockchain surveillance into the legislation. And this is the Section 76, used to be called Section 68 of the MiCA. And that's the rule that I think is the most dangerous. Because essentially what it says is it puts incredibly onerous requirements if the coin cannot be surveilled with blockchain surveillance. Well, you can't fake it. So they really got into it to lobby for that particular section. So what I think is going to happen, and this is where I think there are different points of view on this, if the legal winds start to blow in our favor, then we're going to see either that section challenged, or, and this is what I think some people in the policy group, maybe Robin would be a good example of that, I say, well, this is so onerous, they're going to sort of find a way of not enforcing it. If, on the other hand, it goes, there's no legal breakthrough, then the likely consequence will be that Monero will be delisted at every exchange in the European Union. Now, will that lead to a human rights challenge? I would hope so.
Macintosh just sent a boostagram. Bitcoin fog is indeed a mixer. Says the entire lawsuit is a joke. The company performing the chain analysis is essentially saying he's guilty without showing how they do it. Complete black box. Oh, and Bitcoin fog is still running while the guy accused of running it sits in jail.
Yeah, it all ties back to this. Supposedly, they supposedly have identified the transaction where the Bitcoin fog guy bought, where this particular individual bought the Bitcoin fog domain name.
Uh-huh.
But there's absolutely no, they can't prove it. There's no proof of this. And in a way that they're willing to expose, because this is all private data. So then I like the point that he makes about the EU. He says that the US, at least, saving grace there, is that the US is not making their regulations dependent on these blockchain analysis operations, but the EU's MiCA legislation actually puts it into law.
You're telling me that people in government don't know what they're talking about when it comes to technology? No, stop.
I hate to break this to you.
stop. Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of blowing my mind, because you always hear from Bitcoin people that, oh, it's totally transparent.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But it's actually really difficult to prove a chain of custody from UTXO to UTXO. And that, especially when you think about keys getting stolen, all these kinds of things, you really cannot, there's no linkage between an actual person and these UTXOs. That's a fiction. For most of the time. And it actually makes things, on a regulatory stance, and it makes sense, it actually makes things more complicated than if everything was just easily traceable.
Which would be fine with me. When it comes to Bitcoin, I'd be fine with that. I don't care. I'm not using it for illegal stuff. I have nothing to hide.
That's the Eric Schmidt.
If I have something to hide, I'll use Monero. I know what's up. Oh, man. So the Bitcoin Amsterdam Bitcoin 2024 people are have been kind of responsive. If anything, I have not been responsive, kind of dragging it out a little bit. And the reason why is I want to write something. And so there's three parts to this. Listen up, people, because you can help. And maybe it's the Albi guys. I don't know. Somebody raised their hand and said, hey, you know, I can do so. I can actually hop over to Bitcoin Amsterdam. Whoever does this, you don't even need to be in Bitcoin Amsterdam. What we need, and I think we need to set up, did they send us an invite? I think I saw an invite.
I saw an email that they said they were going to send an invite, but I'm not sure I saw the invite.
Yeah, I have to check. They just, you know, randomly said, oh, I'm sure Dave and Adam will be available at this time.
Sure.
Okay. And the idea is we're going to talk about what, so I guess there's three things. One, is this something that No Agenda Tube can host? And you got some, now have you spoken to Alex about the numbers, about like 7,000 streams?
No, I haven't talked to him about it because we don't even know if, you know, we just hadn't got that far yet. Okay. I don't know if he's...
I can already see him wincing, like, what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure, I mean, if, as long as he's, you know, as long as he gets paid for it, I'm sure he'd be willing to at least think about it.
Well, so, that's the question is, you know, A, do we want to even get into that? But I think the main thing is, now we have a system, Sovereign Feeds, and maybe Stephen B. should just be doing this, where we can load in value blocks into a live stream and pump that into all of the live shows, and the value block would change when the next speaker comes on. The value block can be obviously split up if it's a panel of people. What we would need in order to propose this properly is we would need the boosts to represent the value block. So the same way that if we get a boostagram when someone was boosting during the song, the underclass, that we need to be able to see that that's going to the underclass and not just to me or to to podcasting 2.0. So that's the TLV record stuff that that apparently is only on the receiving end. It's already we don't know if people are baking it in or not. I have no idea. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Airhead said live split changes are easy with PeerTube.
Okay.
So it looks like that we can do that. Let's see, Alex is saying, and this is kind of why I hadn't really pursued it yet, because he said I'd rather help them set up their own infrastructure, but I'm open to it. That's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, they could roll their own. It wouldn't be expensive. I mean,
right.
We just show them how to do it.
Right. So the main thing is the value time split. And I'm just saying we have a tool that does it. Sovereign Feeds does it. And that I think is independent of No Agenda Tube, because the plugin just takes the value block that whatever's being displayed. Mm-hmm. I guess. Anyway, I don't understand how that works. Let me just tell you what we need in order if we want to propose this to these guys, because I think it would be great. Because if we have enough apps, which we don't, if we have apps that that will understand the value time split and be able to implement that on a live stream and postmortem, you know, and in a podcast version, but most importantly, the live stream. So that when people are sending boosts, that those can then be picked up by the conference and shown on stage or shown as a lower third in their video feed, then we can propose that. I'm not quite sure what needs to happen to get there because these will all be remote items. The remote items will presumably be created by something like Sovereign Feeds, which already has it, already does it. So, you know, I don't know if we need to recreate that. Then we can propose that. That's a business. I'm telling you, that's a business. If someone wants to pick that up, you've got a real business there. Put in your own split. You know, you will be able to do this around the world with any webinar, with any conference. It's a business waiting to be picked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I'm. That's another reason why I'm diving in deep with what's going on in No Agenda Tube, in the peer tube development work, is because this is important. I mean, we need this needs to be stress tested, and we need to see if this stuff works properly and where the gotchas are.
Right.
Because this really is, I mean, I see this as this is the way forward for people like that, to roll a peer tube instance and be able to monetize a stream that way. I mean, this is real, we're talking real stuff now. This is not just toys.
No, it's not just toys.
It's not, I mean, and think of, I mean, even if they wanted to, like, it goes back to the PWA thing. Let's say once you've got the stream and you've got all the parts working, even if, let's just say, Apple, Google, whoever, you know, even if they pull apps off the store that do this, you could just write a very thin PWA on top of this content and you're back in business.
Exactly. But I'd like to see it with the existing podcast apps that already work. And so here comes the second part. Mm-hmm. I would like to, they've asked me to write an op-ed. And what I would like to write about is 2.0 value for value with the value time split for music. So my pitch is something new is happening in podcasting. Now we're adding in music. You can play music on a podcast. And we have a magic system where the wallet switches to the artist who you're playing. This is a big pitch. And I want to write this. They gave me, 1,000 words. I need to have more apps that can do it. Otherwise, you know, it'll just be a wasted opportunity. So if we know that like Podverse, Fountain, Castomatic, what am I missing? You know, Breeze, and anybody who wants to jump on board, let's do this because I'm going to write this article. But when I submit it, it's out of my control. And they want to put it in the printed magazine too. And you can see where I know what they'll do. They go like, oh, look, MTV guys bringing back this. So that's what the pitch will be. And people will be interested. And so you want to have your app ready for that. And so I need to know if people are interested in putting that into their apps.
So there's two flavors of that. There's, and you're, just to be clear so that everybody understands, you publish your episode after the fact. There's that version of the value time split thing. And then there's a live.
Yes.
And there's that version. After the fact is easy because you read the XML and you know where to flip flop. The live thing is a little bit more complicated because as it currently stands, and this is not an official spec yet, you have to connect to a WebSocket.
Right. And so
in order to get the signal.
Right. So what I like is that I can bring in lots, but can bring in Wavelake, can bring in Dystopia. I can tell the people like, oh, look at these places you can go to put your music up, or go to musicsideproject.com, do it independently. You don't need, and you can manage your own splits. I mean, this is the kind of article I want to write. So, but right now, as far as I know, it's PodFriend and CurioCaster.
Right. And I know, do we know if PodFriend's doing the live yet?
No, PodFriend's not doing live yet, but for the article, that doesn't matter. For the article, it'll be, you know, just, I mean, people are going to start making shows, but we need a few more apps to support this. It's my plea. Right. It would be an interesting way to kick it off, you know, because people read this stuff and the people talk about it and then they want to do it. And where do I put my music? And then I will support it with the show. I might as well do another show. There's always room for more podcasts in the Curry household.
Sure.
You know, and then I'll signal my boys over here who all want to get ready with their podcasts, and they've got, and honestly, they have friends who have music and so they want to get them in on it. So, you know, it'll start rolling. I'm just trying to coordinate. Just trying to coordinate a little bit. See if we can get people. Because I know it's hard. Everyone's got other stuff to do, and choices to make. But this is a big one.
I mean, I know Oscar's working on it.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And I'm sure Mitch will. I mean, Mitch, he loves to do stuff like this. So, I mean,
I know that Spencer and all those guys, they're already doing it. They're doing they're doing music shows with and, you know, as I said, Sovereign Feeds now has a music playout system built into it. Not something that's functional for the way I do it, but it works. So people can start creating these shows. You see what I'm doing? I'm like trying to get everything all together because the hosting companies won't support this for a long time just because of the nature of their business. They have to make, you know, important choices like, do I support YouTube? You know, so, you know, they have important things to do. But in the meantime, Alex
and Mitch is working on it now, actually.
Does he say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Of course he is. I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah. Cool. I just want to be able to say, you know, are all the all apps support it, it would be great. But if I can rattle off four or five, that would be fantastic. And then, you know, then we're going to get some interesting new programming with music. I can't wait to do a show with just music. It's going to be, I've been thinking, should I resurrect the Daily Source Code? Just call it the Daily Source Code. I have the jingles.
I mean, you might as well because you'd have an instant built-in audience because a lot of people still follow that feed and all that. I mean, that makes sense to me. You don't have to recreate a whole new, you know, framework.
Let me see. Daily Source. Do I still
and Daily Source Code at one point you were doing PodSafe music on Daily Source Code. So
yes, I was.
With 16 million sysadmins ensuring 99's uptime, the 21st century of radio starts here. Beaming out live on noagendastream.com. Podcasting. It's Adam Curry.
Yeah! Okay, that's kind of what it would sound like.
Yeah, I like it. I'm game, brother.
So that's the idea. I'm into it. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready. No, that's my plea. That's all I got. Surely you have something on your list we need to discuss before we thank people.
I had a call with a guy from the Center for Democracy and Technology yesterday.
Oh yeah, and they seem kind of an elitist drinking club, but probably their heart's in the right place. Or did I get that wrong?
I don't know if they're elitists, and I don't know if they're in a drinking club. But
I just looked at the board. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't even look at the board. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming this is a Washington think tank. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. So my understanding is they're going to produce a study. Or maybe it's called a policy paper. I'm not sure exactly, but they wanted to interview. They wanted to interview me about the Podcast 2.0 project, the index, in the context of how does open source innovation compete against big tech. So it was an interesting, you know, of course I'm game to riff on that all day. So.
Right. Now, did you say it's because of the value for value that it all works?
Oh yeah. I threw value for value all over the place. Yeah,
splattered value all over the place. Yeah. Nice.
Yep. And so, we went over the namespace. And
nice.
He asked me, he said, what are some apps? What are the apps that most represent what you think, you know, the project, stands for and what you're after and all this kind of thing. So I was like, and give me some examples of shows that we can look at. And so I sent him lists of, you know, of all the apps and shows and that I think are good, you know, representative of everything.
Nice.
And we talked for about 45 minutes. It was good. It was a good talk. So he said, they're going to write up this study and they'll send us a copy.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't know what else, but that's it.
Cool.
Nice guy.
Well, I think the Podcasting 2.0 project is an example of open source of the future. And I think you and I discussed it many times. It's because of the splits. Everybody has an opportunity to participate in the value flow. That's what it is, I think. But I don't know. I'm sure Spotify has it right. You know, according to Bloomberg, they've fixed it all now.
They're on rails now. Nothing's going to be a problem.
Did you see that Bloomberg article?
Which one?
Spotify takes a sharp turn with its $1 billion podcast division.
No.
Shifting away from exclusives to capture more ad revenue. How does that even make sense?
Sure.
They basically, I mean, they just got rid of everybody, rolled it all up into something called studios, and then said, okay, we're going to do ads or something.
This all makes sense to me now. I had this sort of like, I had like an epiphany, but I hesitate to describe it as an epiphany because it sounds kind of hoity-toity.
Yeah, and it sounds like something for that media and center technology thing to think tank.
Yeah, they probably have epiphanies a lot. So, epiphany. The epiphany that I had was that Chris Fisher, I think, is right. You know, he said. He told us, you know, the ad market is moving to YouTube, and I think he's right based on some stuff I saw. And so Ad Exchanger had this big article on this company called A Million Ads. They're going to start serving hyper local audio ads by creating even more of them.
Yes, because that'll get the CPM up.
Sure. So the ad industry in general, they are this was the epiphany. The ad industry, being whatever IAB, you know. Let's just call it the podcast industrial complex.
Yes,
being the IAB, the Podcast Academy, these roll up show brokers,
award shows.
Yes, award shows. All of everybody that collectively makes up the podcast industrial complex, the rankers, the podcast consultants.
Yes, the people who call us indies.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. The podcast industrial complex is not podcasting. It's not what you think it is. Chris said that all the ad market is moving to YouTube, and it all of a sudden dawned on me that that's why they are so insistent about calling YouTube podcasts.
Because they need to get the money, and if they're not a podcast, that's possible.
They need the money. No, it's 100% true because based on this, when I read this article, this was the whole pitch for this podcast advertising company, that they were going to use AI to create hyperlocal ads. Get this, based on things like location, the weather, where you're at, where you're at, whether you're driving. These are all things that you can't get through open podcast apps. You can only get this through YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, through all the closed source systems. But they're calling it a podcast advertising solution.
Oh, okay.
And this is all. So the only way you can get this data is through the closed source, like a YouTube or a Spotify. You can't. And then they say, well, you know, if we don't have all the data, we can at least know things like location and that kind of thing. Right. That's for the also-ran podcast, all open podcast apps. And that's still based on IP address.
Well, isn't, by the way, you said 100%.
What I meant was completely.
It's okay. I no longer do the horn. I just play this.
100 frickin' percent.
let's see. Effectively, yes. Comprehensively.
But Spotify is now using the Spotify Pixel or whatever it's called. I mean,
IP address.
That's IP addresses. Okay, but I'm still not completely convinced that the money's going to YouTube. I think it's going to TikTok. I think this may be YouTube's part of their play against TikTok. Like, we're different. The podcasts are with us. But all I know is that people who are advertising on YouTube are spending a lot more money on TikTok right now.
The digital advertising market.
Yeah.
Like the IAB based stuff.
Yeah.
They are so screwed. They have tied themselves to these IP address brokers.
Yeah.
IP address data brokers to such an extent. As soon as that thing dries up. I mean, they as soon as Apple, you think Apple getting, you know, the Apple Damas thing was hard. Once they turn on private relay and start obscuring IP address data, these guys are effed.
Yeah, they're out. I can predict what Spotify's move will be because, you know, I've built one of these networks. I've tried. I failed. I spent a lot of other people's money. Granted, not a billion. And it's always the same. So the next move for Spotify, when whatever they're doing now, which is, I guess, Spotify for podcasters. Okay. They will have a Spotify podcast radio station and or a Spotify podcast television station. And you'll just be able to turn it on. You'll be able to see it 24 hours a day. It's going to be great. You watch. You watch. It's going to be that stupid. I know because I've done the same thing. This is the stupidity that will come. Because now they're just trying to please investors. Investors are saying, hey, you spent, that's why Bloomberg highlights $1 billion. Hey, you spent $1 billion on this stuff. What are you going to do? Well, we're not going to renew a lot of people. Okay, well, that's a start. Boom, stock actually goes up. We're going to fire 200 people. Boom, stock goes up. Good. That's all that matters now.
So do you think it's going to be some sort of like YouTube-like experience that they're going to try to launch? Is that what you're predicting?
It'll be stupid. It'll be a 24-hour a day something, and you'll be able to switch channels and this is the talk channel and this is the the true crime channel. You watch, it's in the cards, is what always happens, and that will fail as well. None of this works. The only way forward is value for value. People just can't afford all of the subscriptions to no matter what media it is. People are cutting cords left and right. They're no longer interested in the 300 channels that you can get through cable. People are looking for stuff that they can support and be a part of, or stuff that they can rip off for free. I think you're seeing more Plex sharing, stuff like that. It's over. It's just over. It has to be on a per program basis. It has to be on a per media property basis. And the podcast industrial complex is still stuck in the either A, I have something that I'll be able to sell, or someone's going to invest in me or buy in me so that they can then sell my IP. But I don't hear anybody saying, oh man, I'm so excited about all this advertising money I'm going to get, which is up 26% year over year. It's amazing.
See, that's one of the things that got me thinking in this direction, because you see, the advertising for podcasting is up, yet everybody you talk to in actual open podcasting says it's down. And then you have James on the last pod news or whatever saying, I don't understand how these YouTube numbers make any sense. They keep saying that the numbers are,
I do.
You know, they're getting these numbers, but I don't see it.
I do. We've been through this. Let me pull up the numbers. The way Google works is they have a cost of acquisition. Is that the term?
Is that like a customer acquisition call? Like a CAC?
Yeah, I think it is Google revenue. I think cost of, maybe it is cost of acquisition. Let me see. At which they spend, here, Google revenue breakdown. Let's see. Traffic acquisition, that's what they call it.
Ah, okay.
And they spent, what they spend on traffic acquisition?
Annually? Or?
Yeah, I think we have it on, I'm looking for it right now.
It's got to be a lot.
It's billions of dollars. Here, Google traffic acquisition, TAC, traffic acquisition cost, 2022, $48.95 billion.
Woo!
So it's an arbitrage. So they bring in $48.95 billion worth of traffic, which is what they pay out to people who are sending traffic to them, whether it's search or otherwise. And then they just make sure that they bring in, they mark that up and they bring in $162 billion or whatever it is. So they're buying the traffic. They're buying it. So they and it's a knob for those guys. It's a knob. It's like dial it up, and then your revenue goes up, and dial it down. Now their margin will change. They still have very profitable businesses. And now of course they have to spend billions on AI and all this interesting stuff. But that's how it works. And in podcasting, I guess iHeart tried a little bit. Well, you'll put it into a game. It'll look like someone's listening to the podcast in the game. It's all bull.
Yeah, but the podcast industrial complex, they'll pillow talk whoever they need to.
Yes.
To, you know, whoever they need to keep the ad dollars rolling, when they'll sell you out in a heartbeat.
That's right. It was actually kind of funny to hear James. He had a guest host on. I kind of liked her. What was her name?
No, the newsletter lady. Yeah.
Newsletter lady. And so they're talking about the value for value apps, maybe being removed from pod. Actually, I should probably play this. It was hilarious. Hold on a second. It was one of the funniest things I've ever heard him done. I don't know if he knows that he did it.
Hold on a second. I can't remember her name.
I'll bring it up.
Squeeze is the name of her newsletter, but I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, Sky Pillsbury. That's it.
Sky Pillsbury.
How did I forget that name? It's so unique.
It is interesting. You think that's a stage name or is that a real name? Probably real name.
I don't know. Okay, real name. I'm
going to
go real.
Okay, it's Friday, the 16th.
Let me hit the chapters here. Where's the chapters? Where the chapters at? More chapters.
Are they AI chapters?
Here you go. Yeah. No. Chapters. Here we go. Apple to kill, value for value. Okay, so.
Sam edits the.
Let me just go fast forward a little
streaming
bit.
Streaming SaaS stuff. Those are all doing much the same sort of thing. So this potentially means that those may be whisked off the Apple App Store as well, which is slightly scary. Sam then adds hashtag gaslighting, hashtag gatekeeper, hashtag anti-competitive. He's clearly very upset about this.
Yeah,
asked for 30% of all of the money. For recently enabled PWAs, which is a way of using website.
So this whole bit is all about how Apple might, the chapter is Apple to kill value for value. Listen,
who knows? But anyway.
Whatever the way forward is, hopefully they will this will help them make decisions that are clear for everyone so that it's not, so that no one is confused and sort of at the last minute, you know, finding out this information and with no warning. That's probably part of what's most frustrating.
Well, yeah, indeed. They've got basically 2 weeks to get that payment stuff out of their app. Otherwise, it'll be taken out of the App Store entirely. So you can well understand that people are a little bit upset about that.
Most definitely.
Podcast advertising works, Sky.
No kidding. Are you kidding? I am.
So value for value is on death's door, but podcast advertising works.
It does. It's clearly. Yes, yes. It does, except all the ones that say that it doesn't. Yes, exactly.
Oh, no, it works. It works.
It
sure
works when you, but see, that's the problem. It works when you get it.
Yeah.
But what if you don't?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Oh man, I just thought that was funny. I'm sure it wasn't intentional, but the way it was strung together, I was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's like the C-SPAN caller. Next. Yeah.
I want to thank a couple of people who have been supporting this show as we roll out live, and Jason from Podcast Guru.
Hey, Jason.
Yes, it comes in with a nice row of ducks, 22,222 from Podcast Guru. Now he has the kind of like the generic icon here. That's I'm just identifying this as a
possible. In the helipad?
Yeah, in helipads. I wonder if that's not sending.
That's my fault. That's my fault. No, that's my fault.
Oh,
no,
because you don't have an icon for it.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't have it in a dynamic way. Okay. So let me give you my game plan.
Okay.
Game plan. I've got to finish. I've got to build the dashboard for managing the index.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, I've been waiting for a dashboard.
I started that.
I'm sure you did.
I had to put a couple of things in for Oscar. He needed the music medium tag returned in some endpoints. Had to do some other things. So I got to do the dashboard. Then I'm going to go back to Helipad and get that cleaned up with the remote stuff. And I'll put in the icon for Podcast Guru and all that stuff in there too. I'll clean that up.
And Pod fans, they also need an icon.
Pod fans. Yeah. Helipad needs a little bit of love.
I'm loving it every single day. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it.
You just got to take it out to dinner every now and then. Treat it like a lady.
So Jason says, so remote item after V4V streaming is done. We can do that. Of course you can. Thank you, Jason. Beautiful. Nice. Yeah, beautiful. That's what I need to hear. That's gonna get things going. So Macintosh says 2100 sats from Fountain. I'll volunteer to at least coordinate the video casting if no one else is stepping forward, especially if it can be done remotely or work some modest help on site. I can coordinate with others on Mastodon. I can run with a giant machete if I need to. I cannot run to Amsterdam, however, Nashville maybe. So good. Macintosh, I presume he's on podcastindex.social. If not, let us know.
Sure.
He is. Yep, yeah, yep. I thought so. Cool. Thank you. We're going to start coordinating this. Servus Media, 11,235, 11,235, mini Fibonacci boost. Time to top up my Albi. Happy Friday, gents. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday.
Martin with a short row of ducks, 2222, testing some more solid boosting code in the new pod friend with a row of ducks. Yes, code is solid. It's working. Chad F, 3333, Bitcoin fog is a mixer and KYC from exchanges is the real privacy issue. Yes, of course. We all know ultimately what this is about. Sir Spencer, 16,969, 16969, boosting Dave, the podcast Janny, for all that elbow grease cleaning up those trash Monero clips. Thank you for your courage.
Oh, well, I guess, you ask and you shall receive.
15,000 from Booberry. Dang, this lit GIF or GIF looks so slick. Yeah, that's the animated one. Had the pleasure of live streaming for 2 hours last night, playing around with Sovereign Feed's live switching value tags and playing music. And wowsy zowsy, it's so cool. What I'd like to do is use this for the pre-stream for BTS, which is...
Behind the schemes,
yes. Then at Showtime, have the episode live tag with the updated show art and title engage. Yeah, I think you can do that.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
That's what you do with, you just switch blocks, and you can do that now in Sovereign Feeds, I think.
Yeah.
Mr. Robot with a boob, 8008. Happy Father's Day this Sunday, gentlemen. Thank you. Giving Dave some info to some beef initiative producers in his state so we can get off those nasty milkshakes in the pipe.
Oh, who is this?
This is Mr. Robot. And he has, if you go to beefinitiative.com, you go to the database. Actually, I'll send this to you right now. The state of Alabama. And you can put this on the Signal chat for you right there. There you go.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Get off those beef milkshakes, man.
Thank you.
Layman Creations, 1,000 sats. Dave needs to host a show so he can use Sovereign Feeds. Yes. True. That's right. He's all jacked up on streaming video.
Nah, it's hot. It's hot. It's fire.
Primitive One, 2222. How dare you accuse us of not listening? Now I will boost just to prove it. Who is this? Chimp wants to know what boom arm. Oh, these are people watching your video stream. Chimp wants to know what boom arm Dave uses to hold his mic. Now that's a Pornhub question.
I think it's an Elgato. No? I forgot. I'll find out. I think it's an Elgato.
41,948 from Sir Brian of London, PhD. He says, I had a good week routing on my node, so I bumped up the donation. If anyone is on Hive, please vote for proposal 265. All right. Very nice. Man, Hive got hit with this, with the altcoin shakedown.
Did they get delisted?
No, not delisted. I'm just seeing the prices go down against the U.S. dollar. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's just fun to watch. I mean, not fun for anybody in particular. Just like, wow, just look at all these red numbers everywhere, including Bitcoin.
It's the Elgato wave. That's what the boom arm is.
The Elgato wave?
Yes.
Oh, that's the name of the boom.
The boom arm. Yeah.
Okay, I see. We have a tiny Striper donation from Mike Newman. Loving the longy. Good stuff. That's a Striper, a new Striper sound we have.
Where did you get that from?
It was sent to Curry and the Keeper. Nice.
I like it.
Yeah. It's actual striper. It's actual striper bits put together. Another Lehman Creations, Apple Overloadeds. Okay. And then Primitive One again was 69999. Nice. Thank you. Called in sick to work. Happy to catch up on this show. Lit for the first time in a long time. Shout out to Chimp, Eastside Tony, and all the podcasting 2.0 pioneers. Nice. And Macintosh comes in with 10,000. Ah, Twitter people overreacting to everything. The end is coming. I may not be on a graphene-based phone, but I really don't need Apple in my life. They are merely a convenience. Go podcasting!
Go podcasting!
From Macintosh, who says he's Generation Bitcoin. James Cridlin is listening, 1111. He says, good afternoon, gentlemen. Listening in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, waiting for a bus at the airport.
Oh, he's in America's hat.
In America's hat. I love it. He always keeps talking about, oh, America, it's on the brink of civil war.
Oh, really? Wow.
Get off Twitter.
Yes, yeah, seriously.
We're really not. When we're at civil war, you'll know. It'll be very different noise.
Yeah, you won't have to guess. Yes. A different noise.
That's right. M. Ducius with 3333. Pimp smack and hose. Okay, thank you. Test boosting from the index, 222 from Amit. Then we have Martin. Love listening to the live show, fixing bugs and annoyances at the same time with 2221. And let me see. Podcasting, my favorite waste of time, from Chimp, 13,579. Lyceum with an early boost, short row of ducks. Have you tested Conchak's full access plan with split management? No, never I have heard not. Of it. Well, no, you must, because they have the partner API. They can manage splits from Conchak's.
My bad. Okay. Yes. I understand what that is now. That goes back in reverse because I built the thing for it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, I programmed it and I don't even know what it is.
This is Martin Lindeskog, by the way, Lyceum on podfans.fm. Okay. Says, I want to have an overview of the incoming streaming sats and boostergrams so I don't miss to thank contributors and supporters. I like Conchak's, so I haven't tested it with the full on partner splits, but Conchak's is definitely cool if you're using GetAlbi. I don't know if they interface with other Lightning wallets yet or other nodes. And then let me see. Where's goodness gracious? A couple more before we hit the delimiter here. We have Tone Wrecker, Kubrick Boost through the Pod Bay Door, 2001. Okay, got it.
Pod Bay Door.
Got it. That's good. Borlaug hit us with 10,000 sats before we even started. Strong work, gentlemen. And then we hit the delimiter. So it's you're up. Do we have any Fiat Fun coupons this week?
Oh, we have quite a few. Fiat coupons. Yes. Starting with Ben and Alberto from RSS.com, the boys over there, they gave us a PayPal large satchel of Richards, 1111.
Oh, man. 1111?
Yes. $1,111.
Whoa.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blades on the Impala.
Crikey, guys. Thank you.
Adam and Dave, we are so grateful for what you do. RSS.com will add the support, will add support to even more podcasting 2.0 features in the next months. Location is next in line. Thank you, Alberto, Ben, and the team at RSS.com.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Y'all are so kind. Wow, that is amazing. That's some value right there. We must be bringing him customers left and right, Dave.
I threw him one the other day. I did, a buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. People ask us all the time, which host should I do? And my question is always, I like, okay, tell me what you have. Tell me what your podcast is. Tell me what you're trying to do.
Yeah, if you're on WordPress, easy answer.
PowerPress.
PowerPress, yeah.
Or really simple. And then you have... and then if they say, we really want to focus on value for value, I usually pitch them over to, and they don't want to self-host, I usually go Blueberry or RSS.com because they have that stuff built in. If it's something, if it's something else, I'll kick them over to Buzzsprout. It's great to have like this array of options where you can just kind of like slot people in depending on what they need.
Yeah, I agree. Truly is.
That was part of my discussion yesterday with that
democracy technology think tank.
Yeah. Think tank guy.
Think tank.
As I was telling him, I'm like, the podcast hosting ecosystem, the hosting companies, like, it's so unique. I don't know that there's any other, I can't think of another industry that has a system like that, where you have this, these people that they compete so ruthlessly against each other, but they also are come together and they work together. Like, it's such an interesting thing to see.
Yes,
like,
co-opetition.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Ben from rss.com called me the other night. We talked for about a half hour about some stuff, and it's just everybody just works. They just want what's best. They all understand that a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yes,
it's a great thing to see. Speaking of the guys from Blueberry, Todd,
oh,
Mike,
goodness.
And the gang sent us $300.
Oh, man.
Baller, yeah. Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
And it didn't even come through the Apple store.
That's right.
Thank you, guys.
Helping out with that database server upgrade, go podcasting.
Yeah.
Go hold on,
we got a baller boost incoming right here. 101010, 101,010 Satoshis from Sam Sethi. Pod fans, live streaming and splits work. We broke tonight testing value time split. We'll fix that for next week. Hey, that's what running with scissors, brother. We have all phase six implemented. Do you know a feed we can test for pod ping? We have the rule working. Check your email for a screenshot, and we will never, ever be an iOS or Android app. PWA all the way. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
I like that.
Me too.
Purist.
So RSS, I mean, No Agenda Tube, all of those feeds have the pod ping tag in them.
Oh, good.
So those are good test feeds, Sam. We're going to have to not put any more namespace work in for at least 3 months so that Sam can actually ship this product. Because every time we have a new tag, they go and put it in. We got to let him ship.
Just to give you an idea of how crazy the stuff is that we're doing, and you know what kind of scissors we're running with. So Stephen B just says in the OG chat, not in your wanky little video chat thing.
Stop.
he says the new chat tag, which is created by his sovereignty feeds, broke CurioCaster, but he has it working again
during the show.
Of course, he broke his own stuff and fixed it during the show. I love it, man. I love it. That's hilarious.
That needs a scissor stab. What are the Van Halen scissor stab is with it.
Scissors.
Okay. All right. We got some boosts. So we got a 55555 from Anonymous through CurioCaster. Thank you, Anonymous. No note. We've got another Anonymous, 44444.
Wow.
Through CurioCaster. No note there. Now that is. That contains the remote feed GUID and remote item GUID.
Oh, nice. But we don't know who did it, who made it?
It's anonymous. It came through CurioCaster.
Okay, of course CurioCaster would have that working, of course.
And this is fun because it says, right, I see here, and if people that are watching the stream can see it, it's got the remote feed GUID, and the remote item GUID is the enclosure URL. So that's latenightspecial.net.
Nice.
WP content halfway to somewhere. Yeah, that is really rad. Okay, so then there's another 44444 for the same thing. And okay, here's a 65656. So I need to go in here and figure out what our 1% of that is.
Well, it'll be literally 1% because 95 I think goes to the artist.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll make those adjustments. This was a debug to see what I could see from this first.
Okay, lots of debugging still ahead.
Yes. Skizzers. All right, so we got two of those. Let's see. We got an 77777 from an anonymous through CurioCaster, and he just says,
"Sorry, Striper boost." Okay.
I'm not used to that one yet. And that's just to us. That's not the remote. That's just us. Go podcasting.
Yes.
Go podcasting. No. Another 77777.
No.
Through CurioCast says, go podcasting. Adam, you said follow us on No Agenda Social instead of podcastindex.social.
Sorry about that.
Podcasting! All right, you're out of control with the Striper boost.
Well, it was a Striper boost. What can I say?
I know. It's like, don't blame me. Blame the donor. Anonymous again, 7777. Now, this one's got a row. Now, this is interesting. This is coming from CurioCaster. This one has the new reply address and reply key and reply value.
Wow. So you can hit reply?
We could technically boost back to this person.
Put that in helipad. So it's a little reply button. That would be so cool.
Of course. That's part of taking helipad out to dinner. This is what's going to happen.
Oh, helipad, let me stroke you. You're going to love your new upgrade.
The Golden Dragon sent us a duck, row of ducks, 2222. Through Fountain says, Jupiter Broadcasting Community checking in.
Hey, Jupiter Broadcasting Community, hello.
D's Laughs sent us 3333 through Fountain says, thanks for allowing us peasants to be a fly on the wall. I feel like I'm back in my corporate days with more fun, of course. Oh, yeah. It's
no kidding.
Fun.
Yeah, no kidding.
Bombshell.
John Siebert, 100,000 sats.
Oh, man.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Nice.
Through Podverse, no note.
Thank you, John Siebert. That's highly appreciated.
Feel free to drop a note next time. Gene Bean, 4096 with a 4K killer boost. Through Castomatic, he says, props to the progress on Podfriend and to Martin's openness to feedback. See, John Siebert again with another 100,000 sats.
What?
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
That's going crazy, man.
Yeah, it's going nutty around here. Gene Beans again with a 4K killer boost. He says, Castomatic for the conference stuff. Be sure you also post SplitKit QR codes all over it, too.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
We got a 2222 from Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous. A big Satchel of Richards, 11111, came from Putin. I didn't know Putin listened to the show.
He sure is not from the Wagner Group?
Oh, okay, it could be. Prejovnik or whatever that guy's name is.
Putin!
He sent us a boost, Podverse. He says, great show again, freaks.
Thank you. Thank you, Putin.
Yeah, thanks, Vladimir. Gene Bean sent us an 8649 through Castomatic. He says, Adam, get yourself a small UPS for your Start 9 box, and it'll stay up during transitions to generator power.
Yes, I saw that one come in. Yeah, I'll do that. That's a good idea. The problem most of these UPSs, they die after a year or two. They don't work anymore.
The batteries suck.
Yeah, there's lead acid battery, whatever they use in those. Yeah, I'll look into that. Boost me a link so I can, if it's one you think is good, I'll try it.
Sir Bill, 25,000 sats. He says, cheers to Podfriend.
Yes. Thank you, Sir Bill. Yes, thank you.
Sir Doug sent us 10,000 sats, and he just says, boost.
Yeah, boost.
Boost.
Joel W., Satchel of Richards through Fountain. No note. Thank you, Joel. Kyron from the Mere Mortals Podcast, 2222. He says, yay, Martin's back, baby. Can you also elaborate on why a push for Bolt 12 is needed? Actually, what even is it, and what can it help to do?
Let's answer it in reverse order. It'll make your life better.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It will.
Well,
yeah.
Give him an answer.
The biggest reason to push for Bolt 12 is because it allows for open invoices. So you can just generate an invoice once and that invoice can be used forever. So you can get away from KeySend.
Yeah, that's the main thing. And then it would work with almost any wallet, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Nice. So
it would be part of the spec at that point. If it gets adopted by LND, which is the holdup.
Yeah.
But LND has like 90% market share. So that's, you see where that's going. Bolt 12 has a lot. It has more than that involved in it, but that's the biggest thing for what we're doing is that, The problem with KeySend is that you can't get proof of payment. You have to, because the because the secret value that's generated in order as the seed value that's sent back to the payer, you're not, that's not happening.
So spray and pray.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yep. You know this, you know that the payment was received, but you can't prove it.
Right.
So that's the issue. Haniga through, he sent us 3521 sats through Podfriend. No note. Let's see. We got 2048 from the Golden Dragon says V for V rocks. I was wondering though, how could I implement this for my blog?
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good question. No one's really figured that out yet. I don't think
there is a Medium tag for it though. You could put a Medium tag of blog because there is one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm going to try that. See what happens.
We got a bunch of test boosts from Sam Sethi. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it. And we got them. They work. From Captain Egghead, a Satchel Richards 1111 through Podverse. He says boosting with extra 1823 app fee to support issue 1823, the time value split on Podverse. Mm-hmm. Mitch, note that the competition is getting a split of this boost.
Co-opetition, folks, not competition. Co-opetition.
This sounds like a threat, is what this says.
You know? A little bit.
Yes, yeah, sounds passive aggressive. Threatening.
Passive aggressive, at least.
Yale Ostrowski sent us 10,000 sats. He's through Podverse.
Yale, I think, is the one who said he could go to Amsterdam.
Okay, yeah, he's over there, right? I think is he in Austria?
It's not quite the same thing, but
I think he's in Austria.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's in the EU is what I mean.
Like yes. He wouldn't need a passport, basically. He could fly there just to get, pop on the EasyJet or the Ryanair or whatever.
Yes. Whatever. Let's see. I hope I pronounced his last name. Maybe it's Sasowski. May have mispronounced it, but he says, would absolutely love to help the team do the splits for the BTC 2023 in Amsterdam.
See, there you go. There you go. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, he's definitely on the social, so we're going to get this. We have people. I would say familiarize yourself with Sovereign Feeds. That's a good start right there.
Layman Creations, our buddy Andy, 1,000 sats. He said, through Castomatic, says, I'll dedupe your database.
Woo, thank you.
Sweet.
It's only Friday.
Huh. Amit sent us 4221 through Podverse. He says, that's 4221 for the dedupe army. Oh, 4221. Okay.
Yes.
P.S. posted a triplicate as a comment on issue 270 of the Web UI project. Thank you. He's working to help... help get the non-Latin characters working in the search. That's
that sucks. That's always horrible. It's one of the worst things to have to debug. Yeah,
it's way past time to get that fixed. So I'm gonna get that finished. I think you already read those, and so we got the Delimiter Strip Blogger 33015 through Fountain, and he says, "Howdy, Dave and AC." It's a me Mario. Nope. I mean, it's me CSB, not Gregory. So please invite your audience to visit www.ai.cooking to listen to our podcast with artificial intelligence news and with AI prompt engineering tips narrated by Gregory Foreman from Kent, UK. Yo, CSB.
Yo, thank you. And I just ordered what did I order here? Whoever posts that in the chat room, Somersurf. APC UPS battery backup surge protector 425 VA backup battery power supply BE425M $59.99. How could I not try it?
You bought that while I was reading Boost?
Yes, sir. I bought it with, I bought it with the Satoshis you just read off.
No, you didn't.
No, I did not.
We got some monthlies. We got Terry Keller at $5, Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Chris Cowan, $5. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Derek J. Visker, $21. Damon Kasajak, $15. David Norman, our buddy, $25. And Jeremy Gerds, $5.
Thank you all very, very much. We also had an anonymous coming through Tallycoin with 1,923 sats. No note, but we do appreciate that, of course. Please go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, you can find two donate red donation buttons, one for PayPal and one for Tallycoin for on-chain, or even if you want to send direct Lightning. But, of course, we really prefer the Boostergrams. Get a modern podcast app at podcastapps.com. It really is what all the cool kids are doing. And, of course, you're supporting the entire project. You're supporting the machines that run everything from Happy Space to Happy Dance to what are MK Ultra? What are all the what a Party Time? All these different machines,
helipad,
everything that's running, and of course anything that comes in through the Boostergram stays on the node, and we use that for liquidity. If anybody needs any, we are happy to provide that. And thank you so much for sponsoring not just the work that we're doing here, but the entire project of Podcasting 2.0. Also, of course, keeps the I just had to up the monthly for the Mastodon.
Oh, how much is that now?
It's I think it's $70 now. It's not that bad.
Okay.
It's not that bad. But you know, you reach a certain number of giblets, I think. We have X number of giblets, and we have to go to a bigger to a bigger. I don't know what it is.
You've reached 47 mega giblets.
Yeah, you got so many giblets going on. Like, okay, everybody. So all of that supported by it, and we love it, and of course. Everything that you boost us gets shared with the value block, with the app that's using it, with the sovereign feeds, with Dreb Scott. You know, if we have a guest, it gets shared with the guest. So we're all about sharing.
It's a sharing economy.
Yes, there's no winning.
there's no winning.
let me see. Do I still have that? Where's that jingle? There's no winning.
I mean, we do. This thing is so scissors that I opened my email live on a live stream. I mean, talk about terrifying.
Well, were you showing your private Noster key again?
Yeah, I had to delete it out of the thing. Of course I showed it. I had to literally go into the dev tools in Chrome in Brave and delete the element off the page.
Oh, there's no winning. We don't like to foster a competitive atmosphere, but we laugh a lot. Now everyone hug and share a secret.
That's kind of our motto. That's our motto right there. That's our motto.
Share a secret.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much for all you do. I'm looking forward to the dashboard. Doesn't have to be this week. Can be whenever you're ready.
Yep, I'm getting there.
And people, raise your hand at noagendasocial.com. And I said it again, podcastindex.social. If you need, if you think you can help out with any of these projects. And thank you, Jason, for adding in the value time splits. Everyone doing that. I can't wait to do the music show. I'm very excited about that. Very, very excited. Thank you. Multiple chat rooms. Thank you, everybody there. No Agenda Tube chat room. Thank you at the Podcasting 2.0 chat room. Man, this is a great group. And you know what? You're also pretty. Just makes me want to be sick. You're also pretty. Have a good weekend, brother.
You too, man.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. The board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! It sounds like a porn thing.